This week on Personally Speaking, our guests are Alexa and Carlos Penavega. They have written a terrific new book called What If Love Is the Point? Stay with us. Welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and Carlos and Alexa Penavega join me now. Carlos Pena starred on the Nickelodeon series Big Time Rush and then traveled with the show's band Big Time Rush. Alexa is best known for her role as Carmen Cortez in the hit film series Spy Kids. She's performed on Broadway in Hairspray and on the ABC family television sitcom Ruby and the Rockets. They both also appeared on Dancing with the Stars in 2015, competing against each other. Carlos and Alexa married in 2014, combining their last names to form Penavega. Together, they're the parents of sons Ocean and Kingston and daughter Rio. They've written a new book called What If Love Is the Point? Living for Jesus in a Self-Consumed World. They're here with us today to talk about life, their careers, family, and the faith and values that matter the most to them. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking, Carlos and Alexa Penavega. Carlos and Alexa, thanks first of all for being on our Personally Speaking program, and thank you for writing What If Love Is the Point, which I hope a lot of listeners and watchers will go and get. Let me ask you the first question. I worked for a lot of years on a program called Retribuy. It's a program to make marriages that are in trouble better, and there were three things that came up. And I want to take the three problems that I most often saw and ask you from what you know about gospel love to tell us how you deal with it. First of all, the biggest problem on the weekend was couples who had stopped learning how to communicate. Now, there's communication generally, and then there's communication that's impacted on by the gospel. How do you benefit from the gospel in learning how to better communicate with each other?
For us, it came back to prayer a lot of times, bringing God back into the middle of it. Obviously, everything does go back to the word. So instead of reacting, just really taking the time to listen to what one another are saying. I know a lot of times when we're frustrated with each other, and just in life in general, it's really easy to react instead of respond, right? But if we go back to biblical teaching, we need to just be slow to speak, quick to listen. And for us, that's been a big, big thing. And then whenever there are issues that have been a little harder to work through. Mm-hmm. You might not want to pray in the moment because you might be frustrated or heated, but that is when you absolutely need to be praying in the moment.
Okay, Carlos?
I mean, she said it all. That's basically it.
Okay, so the gospel values that very much enhance your ability to communicate. But the other issue that comes up all the time on these weekends for couples in trouble is the power of money and things, and the importance of making distinction between what do I really need versus what do I want. How do you guys come to mutual value in terms of, hey, let's not let things and consumerism and money rule our lives?
Well, we are the complete opposites in that aspect of things. I love gadgets. I love things. And, I would say, and I talk about it in our book, you know, a while back, before we had kids, I very much, I idled my things. I mean, I loved my toys. I loved my space, my house, and I wasn't really a sharer. And God literally one day was like, I'm gonna teach you a lesson, and I wish it didn't have to be this way, but this is how you need it. And he basically, I wouldn't say took away everything that I idled, but he kind of dirtied it up. He made it not as desirable as I'd ever, for example, this house that we owned. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anybody in the house but me and Alexa, because it was my it was my prize, right? And we ended up having this flooding happen, and the house, I mean, it was like a
God sent a flood.
God sent a flood. And it was this like 3 or 4 year lawsuit in the house, and And we literally couldn't change anything in the house or fix anything because it was part of the lawsuit. And my my prize that I had, you know, coveted so much was now completely destroyed, looked terrible, was kind of embarrassing to have people over. And Alexa one day, she'd been asking me for a while to have a Bible study. And she was like, look, I know the house is like this, blah, blah, blah. I really feel like we should have this Bible study. And I said, you know what? Who cares? The house looks like crap. Doesn't even matter. I just like threw a fit. I said, we'll do this Bible study. Yeah.
Okay.
And that Bible study literally changed our lives. We hosted a Bible study. We committed to 1 year. We did it every single Monday for a year. We had an open door policy. People could bring whoever they wanted. They were coming in and out left and right. At one point we had 50 people coming every single Monday. We bought all these chairs. We would set up this circle. I bought all of this, you know, sound equipment, and we would do worship for 30, 45 minutes before the Bible study. People would come in and share their talents and play violin and play drums. And it just became this Monday night, awesome, epic, you know,
but what
worship.
I loved is it all started because you had this obsession with things and not wanting your things to be messed up. And then all of a sudden, once things got flooded, he was like, whatever, it's already messed up, do it. And your heart was like so transformed after that first Bible study that like from that moment on, he really let go of that, or the thing, the stronghold that the thing had over your life really was gone.
Well, and honestly, I noticed the more that I shared what I had, the more God was willing to give me. So as long as I continue to just like he's pouring in, I'm pouring out. It's just like keeping that flow was so important.
Yeah. Alexa, the same for you. Have you been able to detach easily, or is detachment sometimes a struggle for you?
No, it's a struggle. Yeah, right. This girl, she'll give you the shirt off her back.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I will say things and money, I've never really, I don't want to say I had an issue with, I don't really care. There's never really been an importance for things and money for me personally. I don't know if that's because of how I was raised or what. I just have always had confidence that God would provide, and if somebody else needed it more than I did, I would just give it to them, and God would provide later on.
That's terrific. You know, we hear these stories about people in California with floods and fires, and I've often thought to myself, what if everything you had was taken, and you'd realize that in the end what matters is the people you love and God, and all the other things are just things, and we can't take them with us. You know, in my parish, I notice sometimes on a particular block there'd be a pot outside the house where obviously the mom or dad have passed away, and the kids are taking 99% of everything in the house and chucking it, and you're saying, but I'm sure for those parents, those things seem to mean so much. You've already come to a point of learning how to be detached, which is just wonderful. Now, the third thing on the weekend that we talk about a lot, and you know, we're on Sirius XM, but we're also on YouTube. So the YouTubers can see that sitting in front of me are two very physically beautiful people. But the problem with that is the more beautiful God allows us to be accidentally, the more the challenge, I think, sometimes to be true, to be faithful. Infidelity comes up a lot on this particular weekend I mentioned. And I say to the kids, even in pre-Canaan, preparation for marriage, if you remember nothing else I say, 20 years from now, when one or both of you have either lost your hair or gained a few pounds, and there's someone at the office who looks better and wants you, don't do it. Now, you're in a world, where that would be such a commonplace opportunity, I would think. There are beautiful people all over the place in the media business. What do you guys do to stay rooted in saying, there's always going to be someone out there I may be attracted to, but I know what I've got at home, and I will stay true? How do you do it?
Yeah, I'll start it.
Okay.
First and foremost, we keep our family together no matter what. So currently my band is on tour right now, and we're doing, you know, 45 dates across the U.S., 2.5 months. And we are literally all living on a bus together.
Our three kids are in the other room.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, it's such a, it's a blessing that we can do it, but it's also like, it takes a lot of effort, and it's not cheap. You know, like this is not the tour paying for this. Like, this is our money paying for the bus so we could keep our family together, so that we don't run into these, you know, situations where, hey, I'm on tour for 2 months and I'm around all these beautiful girls. And it's like, look, if you want to make your marriage work, it takes work. And I think people think that it's just gonna, oh, you know, like we're in love and that's it and it's fine. It's like, no, man.
Fight for it in today's world.
The enemy is trying to get in yep. any way possible, and it's like, you know, you literally have to do whatever it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I would just say is, I know a lot of people see flirting as a harmless thing because they're like, mm-hmm. oh, it's like friendly, it's fun, or whatever. Flirting is the most dangerous thing that you can do.
Yeah.
Because we live in a flirting culture, and we used to think it was fine early on in our marriage, and we really learned quickly that it opens the door to so many bad things, and it's so easy for other people to assume that it means more. And then the more and more we realize, we're like, oh my gosh, that's spiritually, it's just so wrong. Like, yeah. I want to honor you. I want to honor our marriage. So for anybody who thinks that like flirting really is harmless, it's not. You're opening door flirting outside of marriage.
Yeah. We had not that long ago, Jonathan Rumi on the program, who, you know, plays Jesus on The Chosen. And I mentioned him because, Carlos, you just referred to the enemy. And for those who don't know, Carlos is talking about, for want of another word, the devil or the temptation to compromise. What I'm asking is, he said, Jonathan, that the more successful The Chosen has become, his playing Christ, the more he finds the enemy, you know, putting pressure on him and challenging him. When you put yourself out to the world as people who are believing, practicing, for real Christians, I believe the enemy goes after you in a big way.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys do to resist the power of that darkness?
Well, luckily, I have the best teammate, the best life teammate right here.
We hold each other accountable, yeah. And I think that's a big deal. And then community is, like,
yeah.
We have it.
It's not easy. I mean, I think for me, the hardest part is we live in a world that is not conducive to marriage, that is not conducive to people who just want to, like, really just be a good person. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm in situations and, you know, I'm the only Christian in there, and it's hard. But
yeah,
we literally talking about this last week, you know, God has me in those situations for a reason, and I got to just stay true to who I am, who he is. And honestly, like, if I need to talk, if I need to vent, like she said, you have to build a solid community around you so that you can have those conversations, because you can't do it alone. We were not created to do it alone.
No. Alexa?
I would say that, you know, representing the kingdom, like Carla said, is hard. It's hard work. The world is not set up for us to walk that easy road. But you go back to, you know, the path is very narrow. It's a narrow path, and it's not necessarily the popular one. But we've never lost our peace. We've never lost his comfort, and I think that is a massive deal. When the world is chaotic, your best testimony is the consistency in your faith, because they're always going to see God's peace in everything that you do. Even when everything is going wrong, your house can be flooding and all your things can be destroyed, when you remain in his peace, that is so evident. Like, that's the evidence of him in your life. And when other people see that, this is like a long way around. In the book, we talk about how Carlos came to faith, and a friend of ours, Andrew, just always had so much peace in his life. And Carlos didn't know Jesus at the time. And he was just like, why are you so happy all the time? And Andrew's like, well, I mean, you mean peaceful? And Carlos's like, yeah, sure. And he goes, well, Jesus. And Carlos just laughed at him. He didn't really believe him. But the more and more Andrew just had his consistency in his life, Carlos was like, I want that in my life.
In the book, you get into this, but I want you to share with our listeners and viewers, if you can, family of origin matters so much to people. And some people might think, well, maybe these two are such profound believers because, you know, it was handed to them. Tell us about the family of origin. How much do they plant good seed? And how much of that good seed did you have to find on your own?
We were blessed to have been given some, I would say, good foundations from our family, but we both come from rocky homes where our parents were divorced. They went through their fair share of difficulties that was brought home a lot, and that made it really difficult to grow up in. But God really, I think for everybody, God really pursues us. He really pursues our hearts. And I know a lot of this world gets trapped into, like, what else is out there? It's the universe. The universe is pursuing me. And I just want to say, like, it's God. That is God pulling on your heart. So yeah. You just have to, you really have to answer because he's calling you. And for us, we were fortunate enough to have that persistence in our life and finding the right people at the right time. And
yeah.
That's just God's divine timing. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah. And we could be that for other people. And I think that was the biggest takeaway after writing the book is like the consistency in your life is what is going to affect other people. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who waver in and out, look, everyone's got their walk, but it's so hard to watch someone and learn from them when you see them doing all these things, especially in our industry. It's like, I see someone, you know, post something about Jesus and then they go and do this. And then you see this post and they're, you know, taking shots and cussing up a storm. And I'm like, no, you can't do like, this is not helping. Like, what are you doing?
Well,
it's so confusing. So I think like consistency, that word just keeps coming up. I'm like, let's just be consistent for others because people were consistent for us in our lives. And that's what made that. Yeah.
I talked about you coming from a family of origin, but now you have founded this new family with three beautiful children. I know they're young, but do you have any idea of how you want to best pass on? I have parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles watching and listening to a show like this who are saying, look, I love my faith. I want to pass on a personal encounter with Christ and the church to my kids, but I'm not sure how to do it. Have you guys come up with a plan on how best to pass the values that matter the most to you onto these children you love so much?
Right now they're very young, so we're still at that like base level of, hey, this is Jesus, and you know, here are the stories and this and this. But you know, I think for us, we just want to continue to pour into them. I hate to bring this word up again, but consistently, you know, just make it part of their everyday. Make it like not just something that we do on Sunday. You know, it's something that we do every single day because it's a part of us, and that's just who we are as a family.
Mm-hmm. Something I started doing, I used to just pray privately, but instead I was like, you know what? When I talk to God, I'm going to just talk to God all day long and out loud so my kids can start hearing me talk to God. So it became this normal thing in the house. So they always hear me talking to God, always hear me praying and like thanking God. And that became a consistent thing for them. So now whenever Ocean has an issue or he wants to like give thanks, he will just go and talk to God now. And it's the most thing. But it's because he's actually witnessing faith in the house. And it's not just this, say your prayers on Sunday or say your prayers before you eat, but it's like an actual, you have a relationship with God.
Yep.
And you know, he asked a lot of questions when he first heard me praying out loud like that. He was just like, who are you talking to? Why? Like, why do you do that? And then the more he heard it, the more it just became that he wanted to do it too. And it brought him comfort.
Wow.
And that's kind of the best, I feel like the best example you can give to your kids is instead of like telling them what to do, just show them how to do it on a daily basis.
Yeah. Carlos, you just talked about consistency and you reminded me, Nicholas Sparks, the author, was our guest. And I said, how do you pass on values? And he said, just live them. And you're saying living those consistent values are the best way to teach them. And they certainly are. Do you worry, though, that, Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker in the TV series, he had one son who fell victim to drug addiction and ultimately died. And so many of the people on our program who are parents have said to me that every time their kids walk out the door, they live in fear and anxiety because of the dangerous world we live in. Is there any way you can, I know you can't bubble your kids to protect them, but how you can send them into a world and not fear?
Man, you know, I just want to be in my kids' life.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, going back to this tour thing, like if I were to leave this, you know, all the family at home for 2.5 months, you know, there's our kids are 5, 3, and 1. Like these are like those primitive years where like I need to become their friend, like not just their dad, but like they need to trust me. They need to come and, you know, want to talk to me, want to tell me their problems. So, you know, being in their life as much as possible, I think that is key because when they're 16 and they have an issue, I want them to come to us and not to, you know, turn to something else. So that's, I mean, that's what mm-hmm. we're trying to do. I don't know if that's the right thing, the only thing, but
it starts now.
Yeah.
You're molding them now. And I think a lot of times people try to start that too late. And mm-hmm. by then, you know, kids are going to other kids for advice, or kids are going to substances for, you know, just the like void.
Yep.
But really, if you instill that you are a safe place now to go to bring everything to, they'll come to you in the later years, even with the tough stuff.
Mm-hmm. Please stay with us. We'll be back with more of our interview with Carlos and Alexa Penavega in just a moment.
I turned from a recreational drug user to a drug addict. That took me to my knees. I lost a family, almost two families. I lost friends. Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it. I love it. My heart's there. I took communion after 18 years, and the rest of the Mass, I sat and cried. God restored my life. God restored my family. God restored my love.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Delighted to be joined by Carlos and Alexa Penavega, who have written a great new book called What If Love Is the Point? You know, I do a lot of commentary on secular news stations whenever there's a religious issue that comes up, and I'm always surrounded in these studios by people who I know, by the questions they ask me or the way they deal with me, are probably agnostic, they're not sure, or even more powerfully, they're atheists, they just don't believe in God at all. I mention that because you live in a media world where you've got to be surrounded by a lot of people who think you're a little bit screwy for believing. So how do you relate to, how do you comfortably deal with people who don't get it, what you're about?
She's teaching me a lot lately. Alexa has a really great view. She just goes, you know what? I just see them as lost people.
Yeah.
And even though they, you know, continue to fall and fall again, I just pray for them. And my side of things, I'm like, I'm so over this. It's like the ninth time. Can we just be done with this? And you know, I'm starting to see her side a little more, where I have a little more compassion. And
I just think, like, how many times did it take us to get to where we are in
absolutely.
Our faith? Mm-hmm. Even early on, it's so funny. Early on in our faith, we were still growing. So we would learn about Jesus and like read the Bible, and then we would go to the club. You know, like it was still young. It was still figuring out what does it mean to really live for the kingdom. And as we started learning more and more and growing our relationship with God, that's when we were like, oh, maybe going to the club isn't the best idea. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, maybe how we speak really does matter. Maybe cursing is actually really powerful and we shouldn't do it.
That, I think, is what shocks people the most. So Alexa and I used to cuss a lot. So back maybe like 9-10 years ago, every other word out of my mouth was the F word. It was boom, boom, boom. And I had a stutter, and I felt like it was the only way to get by it. And,
right.
And when I cleaned up how I spoke, people, it was as if they were like, they were shocked, but they were also like, oh, it's so dumb, dude. It's just a word. But now that I've stayed consistent over the years, I have people who I know cuss a lot, but when they're around me, nothing. And I'm like, you know what? At least I've made that impact where they're like, hey, you know what? He doesn't like it. Let's just, you know,
let's not do it. Beautiful, because like, it's a level of respect.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I promise, last question, and for my listeners, go get What If Love Is the Point. Here's my last one. One of the first interviews I did 100 years ago was with the film director Frank Capra, It's a Wonderful Life. Mr. Smith goes to Washington 4 times, he wins the Oscar. But his point of view was that physical illness is not the problem in the world, it's the illness of discouragement. We look around our world and we see non-believers and people who hate people of faith and people who have no hope. And they look at you guys, and you're upbeat, and you're happy, and you're positive, and you're believers. And they don't understand the source of your joy. I'm wondering, Do you ever give way to discouragement? And when you do, what's the road back to that great joy that you guys reflect now on camera and reflect in the book and reflect in everything you do? How do you find your way back from discouragement to joy?
We're human. So yes, we do. Yeah. I mean, it's...
The good news for us is we are a team. So if either one of us is hitting a low point or needs encouragement, the other one picks the other person back up. And also, again, I go back to community. Community is really, really important, and finding people that can really pour into you. It took a long time, but finding kind of like a spiritual dad for you, somebody, you know, we have tricky parental situations and they don't necessarily share our faith, or they do, but they don't really have an understanding of it. So for us, it was really important finding people that we could go to that have way more wisdom than we do, that can pour into us in a way that really only somebody with years of wisdom can.
Yeah.
Alexia, Carlos, you're amazing. And, you know, you're for people who can watch a program like this, obviously beautiful people, but you reflect in the book as well as in interviews like this, a beautiful soul too. And it's just a source of hope and consolation and encouragement to people like me, and I hope to everyone who listens to and watches a show like ours. I hope this book, What If Love Is the Point, sells a gazillion copies, but I just hope you guys keep on keeping on, because you're a source of great encouragement to all of us. Thank you so much for your willingness to put it out front. You're the best. You're the best.
No, we have to. Thank you.
As we end today's program, I want to thank you for being with us. If you want to reach me or send comments or questions, you can reach me at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. You can also watch past episodes and this program on YouTube by searching under Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lusanti. I hope you'll also hit the like and subscribe buttons. Personally Speaking is also on Facebook at Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lusanti. We're also now on Instagram at Personally Speaking Podcast. Please share and let others know about Personally Speaking. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you and be with you next time on Personally Speaking.